taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Well, hello there, everyday Americans. You've joined the Constitution Study. We read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. Now, I've talked quite a bit about our need to live our lives as free people, to stand up against the tyranny of government and to stand with those who are standing up. So today I have a special guest, Kathy Chamberlain. She is the author of Rules for Deplorables, a primer for fighting radical socialism. She's an author, she's a speaker, and she wrote an article that really caught my attention called Three Stories of Heroism in a World of Tyranny. Kathy, thank you for joining me.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Paul. Thanks for inviting me.
So for my listeners, why don't you tell us a little bit about you, what you do, and how this article came about?
I am, I actually used to be a building contractor here in the state of Florida. And I did that for many, many years. I owned the nation's first all-female construction company, complete with the pink pickup trucks and all. And like so many contractors, I fell off my ladder and ended up breaking my back and both my wrists. And I just didn't know what to do next. And God kind of had a hand in that and opened my eyes about everything that was going on. I was always pretty active politically anyway, but this really got me motivated to write a book countering Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, because I remembered, as a radical liberal, by the way, I used to be in California, I remembered reading his book, Rules for Radicals, and I could see these tactics that were being used all over the place, and the conservatives just have no clue. So that's what motivated me to write my book. I take every one of Alinsky's 13 tactics and open up a chapter with each one, trying to get people to wake up to the war that we're in, because all of his tactics are meant to transform our country to socialism, a la communism, obviously. But when I, the reason I wrote my article is because I ended up going to a fantastic conference that was put on by Clay Clark here in the Florida, Tampa area. And there were so many Americans, so many patriots speaking there. I was in the, I had the opportunity to meet a bunch of them, and three of them really stood out to me. And that's when I decided to write my article on heroes.
Yeah, you know, it, what you describe is, you know, people are playing checkers while the left is playing chess, and it's time we start learning a little bit of chess ourselves.
Well, President Trump taught us a little bit of that.
Yep. So it's interesting because, as I said, you know, for this, I've been writing and recording and since I've been on the air here at the America Out Loud about the importance of not only standing up when your rights are violated. I mean, my whole company, the Constitution Study, is based on the idea of the quote from John Jay: every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution of his country, teach the rising generation to be free by knowing their rights, they're sooner perceived when they're violated and be the better prepared to defend and assert them. And you have here three examples, and I've written about these examples, but tell us a little bit about the three heroes that that you wrote your article about.
I just love these. There's actually there's three hero stories, but there's actually five heroes embedded within the stories. And the first one, who we all remember, the gentleman Ian Smith, who is the gym owner up there in New Jersey, mm-hmm. along with his partner. I didn't realize really until I started doing the research on how involved his partner was as well. Ian just seemed to be the one who gets out in the public face a lot more, but both of them equally are partners that just would not back down one iota. And it was just amazing because, you know, you think back to our founding fathers and what they had to say about giving up everything they owned and their life, liberty, everything. And these guys did exactly that. And we wonder how we would do in that kind of situation.
Yeah, you know, when they signed the Declaration of Independence, it ended that, you know, in support of this declaration, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Our sacred honor. It's, you know, we think about, when we think about sacrificing our lives, you know, obviously you think about giving your life. But sometimes sacrificing your life means doing the hard thing because it's the right thing. It means standing up when everyone else is telling you to sit down and shut up. And let's face it, Ian has a face for this type of movement. I mean, just
that is for sure.
You look at him, and that's the person I'll never forget. You know, him, and I think it was his partner kicking down the boards when, you know, the town had boarded up his building. I loved it. They cut off the water. They didn't care. They cut off the power. They didn't care. They locked it. They broke the locks. They kicked in. They just were not going to take tyranny sitting down. They were not going to take no for an answer.
That's right. They're great examples for us and great motivators as to how we really should respond in these kinds of situations, because they were charged with contempt, obstruction, all sorts of, they were fined so much. I didn't realize their fines amounted to almost $250,000. I mean, including their defense funds, but their fines just started adding up every single day that they refused to close down. But they really held strong with that in the face of, I don't know if I'd be that strong. I consider myself pretty strong as far as standing up to that sort of stuff. But, you know, people have to put their minds into that mindset that they could lose everything. And that's where they were.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking with someone before about, you know, well, they can just lock you up. Well, is at what point do you say, okay, I'll give because they have the power to lock me up, you know, and to see these people standing up and saying, I don't care what you say. What you say is wrong. What you say is illegal. We're going to live by the supreme law of the land. And, you know, you talk about the fines and the fact they have a legal defense fund. People stood up and gave their fortunes to help support what they were doing. There were crowds gathered when they would break into their own gym in support. And it's that type of action. I believe it's not an Ian and Smith and a Frank Trombetti. These men are catalysts, but it's actually more important that people rally and support them. You know, when they signed the Declaration, it's reported that Ben Franklin said, "We must all hang together, or assuredly we will all hang separately." I believe it. Ian and Frank had stood there separately trying to do this. They would have been overrun. But the fact that they had crowds of people supporting them made all the difference.
Boy, yeah, there are never truer words than what you just repeated. That's exactly where we're at today. And so many people are afraid to stand with those who are taking a stand for our rights. And that's the danger, because the fewer of us that take these stands, the quicker they'll be able to get us out of the way. I was wondering, where were all the other businesses and gym owners that filed, you know, that filed in their same footsteps? I didn't see, really, at least we didn't hear about others that went to this extent.
I forget who said it, but the saying is true. All it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
Edmund Burke.
Thank you.
Yep.
And, you know, that's exactly true. Is, you know, like you said, where was everyone else when these men were fighting not just for their rights, but for the rights of everybody? where was everybody else? One of the factoids I found in my research, this has always amazed me. You know, most of us know that during the Revolutionary War, roughly one third of colonists were for independence, one third of colonists wanted to remain British subjects, and one third didn't care. But the number that always gets my attention is only about 3% of the colonists actually fought for independence. So it's always going to be a small number, but I think it's important that, you know, while not everybody is going to stand up and join in, the people who do are the ones that really make a difference.
Very true. And the three percenters, the group that is now, some of them sitting in jail in D.C. for the January 6th Capitol event. That's why they call themselves the three percenters, exactly for that reason. And, you know, it's really bothering me that they're not getting enough support up there to get those people out of jail, because it's pretty much exactly the same situation.
Yeah. And part of it is, you know, the media is certainly not covering it, because the media is, I mean, they're all in for a socialist America anyway. They want these people, you know, locked up. They don't mind if you loot and rampage a city for a leftist organization. But if you dare question, they don't even mind if you question the election that's won by a Republican. You dare question an election won by a Democrat, and yeah, they throw you in jail. And as bad it is as it is that our government is imprisoning political opponents, what I want to know is, where are the people standing up saying, wait a second, if you're doing this, then you have proven yourself unqualified for office? You know, that's the part that everybody seems to miss. It's not up to somebody else to go fix this. It's up to you. The people who arrested these people that are holding them without bail in violation, I believe, of the Eighth Amendment, they eventually work for somebody who represents you, who's enacting your power in your name. And what are you doing about it?
That's right. And they're in solitary confinement for 23, 24 hours a day. You know, that saying also reminds me, I don't know if you were able to see the press conference that Trump held today, filing that class action lawsuit. But one of the things, I think it was his attorney, I'm not quite sure who said this, but several people actually weighed in on this, that it's even for Democrats, what they're not understanding is right now the target, and Saul Alinsky's 13th tactic is pick a target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. That's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They're isolating a certain segment of first the patriots, the ones who are really stepping up to the plate. And eventually, and this is what they said at the press conference today, even Democrats, they're coming after you. So, you know, they're right now picking the low hanging fruit that are people like these gym owners. But make no mistake, folks, they're coming after anyone who voted for Trump or anybody who doesn't agree with their philosophy, their ideology. So, yeah, we all need to wake up to this.
Yeah, as the poem from Martin Niemöller said, and I'm going to paraphrase it, you know, first they came for the socialist and I didn't do anything because I wasn't a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist and I didn't do anything because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jew, but I didn't do anything because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to defend me. That's really where we are, is we're being isolated. And the sad part is, my belief is that there are more people that are actually interested in this. One, they don't know that there are others like them. And, you know, and two, they don't know how, they know something's wrong. They don't understand how do you learn to deal with it? And it's stuff like this points out that, yeah, you can stand up. You can help these people that are standing up for rights. And if we don't stand up for the Ians and the Franks and everyone else, well, then when they come for us, who's going to defend us?
That's it in a nutshell. I reword that little adage from World War II that first they came for Trump and his family, but I wasn't a Trump, so I did nothing. Then they came for those who, you know, and it goes on and on. Then they came for those who were in D.C., but I wasn't there. Then who went into the Capitol? Then who voted for him? I mean, this is where exactly where we're at. And that's why these heroes were so important to me to bring light to, because not just because of them themselves, that they had the courage to stand up, but as an example for others to see, because, you know, it's so much easier when you see somebody else do it. And that just, that really drives home the impact and the importance of all of us standing up when we know it's wrong. Because even one of the things I write in here that I found, I didn't know this until I did my research on them as well, but a lot of people will tend to say, well, they're really selfish. They weren't wearing their masks. We all need to wear our masks. But that isn't the case at all. Number one, the one partner, Frank Trombetti, his mother died of the CCP virus in May of 2020. So he was well aware. And after all was said and done by December of last year, after so many arrests and citations, they had over 84,000 visits to their facility and not one reported case of the virus. That's pretty incredible.
Well, that shows what happens when you follow science rather than scientists. You know, I'm always talking about going back to the data. You know, the CDC's data is readily available. You do a little searching on their website. So when you look at it and see, you know what, children have a 0.0 chance of as close as possible, of dying from this disease. They tend not to get it. They tend not to transmit it. You know, masks, just anybody with a basic understanding of science knows that a mask is not going to stop a virus in either direction. The CDC, you look at the numbers. I was at a doctor's office, and the physician's assistant asked my wife and I if we'd gotten our COVID vaccines. And I told her, no, I'm not taking an experimental vaccine for a drug I have a 99.5% chance of surviving. And she looked at me incredulously. She goes, 99.5%? I said, yes, go look at the CDC data. You look at my age, you look at my weight, you look at my overall health. I have a 99.5% chance of surviving this if I get it. And you want me to take an experimental vaccine to protect me from that? And yeah, you know, but that comes from that comes from arming yourself with a little bit of knowledge, finding people that you can that can give you information, and then vetting that information. That's probably the biggest thing, is don't, simply because Fauci says it doesn't mean it's true. We did not anoint him king. Simply because a CDC director says it doesn't make it true, especially when you see them contradicting their very own data.
So true. I also questioned my doctor when he wanted me to take the jab, and I said, what's in it? And he couldn't tell me. And I said, well, that answers that.
Exactly. Exactly. In fact, I'm doing a tour. I'm going up to the Northern Plains next month, and I refuse to fly because they want me to get the jab. And I do not trust the airlines to not make it mandatory. So, okay, I'm not going to give, if I don't trust you, I'm not going to do business with you. So I'll drive. And you know what happens when we're driving? A, I get to see more of this great country up close and personal. And B, I have that many more opportunities to stop and meet and talk with other Americans that are just as interested in rights and liberty and freedom as I am, and maybe help open some people's eyes to the possibility that we are not subjects of government. We are rightfully its masters.
I love that.
So while we're talking about hero stories, tell me about the Iowa Mama Bears.
They are so adorable, I got to tell you. They always travel together when they go around speaking, and they're best friends. I was able to talk with them as well. And what they did was pretty incredible too. It's something that I am seeing an increase of around the country. So people like the mama bears have really awakened a lion, I guess you could say. But they're from Iowa, and they were very upset over the mandatory mask mandates at their children's school. One of them, actually, her daughter got a staph infection on her face, I think around the lip area. And so that was it for her. She said, no more, I'm not doing this. And they both stood up, they went to their school boards, and they started just fighting really hard against it. And because of their strength and their courage, a whole movement began, and they became known as the Mama Bears. And even the governor there in Iowa, when she got rid of the mask mandates in school, she made masks optional and called the act the Students First Act, actually. That was just this past May, so it wasn't that long ago.
Yep.
But she basically told them in public, you did this. It was all your efforts that did it. So that's a pretty incredible story, too. They're very young women who had just had enough.
Yeah. And it's, you know, one thing I learned is you never get between a mama bear and her cub. That's a dangerous place to be. And you don't want to mess with mama bears. But you're right. You know, here you have two ordinary people, two mothers that looked at what was going on with their children and said, no, we're not, to quote, was the movie Network, we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. And but what you have are basically, like I said, just two young women standing up and saying, no, we're not going to bow before the school board as if they're our masters. We're not going to act like serfs and subjects in our own country. And we're certainly not going to endanger our children because some bureaucrat says so. And it didn't take a lawyer, it didn't take a court, it didn't take a mob. It took just two mothers willing to stand up and fight for their children, even when everyone else was telling them to settle down. And to me, that's a very important story. We don't, you know, the Attila's gym didn't remain open because a court ordered it. We're always looking to courts to go fix this, or we're looking for politicians to go fix this. No, it was just people standing up saying, we're going to do the right thing. You know, a lot of people call this civil disobedience. I disagree. See, I happen to know that Article 6, Clause 2 of the Constitution says it is the supreme law of the land. So if you have an order or a law that violates that, you're not being disobedient. If you refuse to follow it, you're being obedient to the true law, the supreme law. And here we have a couple of mothers standing up and doing just that. And it changed not only their kids' lives, but the lives of all the children in all the public schools in Iowa, simply because these two refused to buckle under.
Yep. They even, I guess it went so far, because originally Kimberly just sent a note in with her, a doctor's note. I mean, this is from her daughter's doctor, who said she had to be excused from wearing a mask. And they wouldn't allow that. Even with the doctor's note, it's incredible, really, if you think about it, and how many of us would have pushed harder. But, you know, I do see that on the local level, there are an awful lot of parents getting involved with the CRT, the critical race theory stuff, and with the masks. I happen to be in a very active local group who fight back against this stuff. And it's just amazing to see what can be, because the left, really, they're not that strong. And they're not that strong as a people, much less as a group. They are, simply because they stick together no matter what, but also they have been working at these tactics for decades to put our country in the situation that it's in, where it's twisted, like what you were just saying, rather than seeing things as civil disobedience one way, you flip it. And they've gotten very good at that. But it just takes a little bit of pushback and they fold.
Well, like any bully, their power comes from the submission of their victim, from the cooperation of the victim. And as soon as the victim stands up for themselves, the bully goes and finds another weak target. This is bullying, plain and simple. So you're right. When someone stands up, and so I love to hear the stories. When someone stands up, when this early on in the pandemic, I used to live in upstate New York, and I saw this wonderful video of a restaurant, but I'm not sure. And you had the health inspector come in with two sheriff's deputies, and the owner said, "Where's your warrant? You're not welcome. You're trespassing. Leave." And at one point, one of the sheriff's deputies said, "Listen, we're just trying to do our job." He goes, "No, if you were doing your job, you'd be taking the trespasser off of my property." Now, him standing there was real interesting. What got me was when all the other the customers stood up and demanded that they leave until they eventually backed down and walked out. That's the power of, one person rallying others, knowing what is right and being willing to stand for it. And, you can have a tremendous impact. We don't see it. We don't hear it because, like, Alinsky says, they want to keep us separated. They want to keep us isolated. But is that type of thing that work that makes the difference between living free or living as subjects?
No, I love that story. And a very similar opposite story happened where I live, because we were the first city in Florida to defund the police. And it's so sad to see our city has just started going down with all these lunatic ideas. But last year is when it really got bad. And we started getting BLM and Antifa down in this beautiful, on the water, just wonderful city. And it's the police chief ended up taking a knee in solidarity with them. It was so infuriating to watch, because that kind of appeasement only strengthens them, like you said.
Exactly. Well, Kathy, will you hang on for another segment? I have to go to break, but this is so interesting. We still have one more hero story we want to talk about.
Of course.
Great. Before we hit the break, I want to remind everybody about Healthy Cell. We're talking here about reactions to COVID, and probably the best thing you could do to protect yourself from COVID or any disease is to eat healthy and take vitamins. But they haven't changed the way vitamins are made since the 1930s. And along comes Healthy Cell. They have different products for whatever you're trying to do with your body. I love the Immune Super Boost. It helps keep me healthy. It helps help. I haven't gotten COVID. In fact, I don't generally get sick. And it's an easy-to-take, travel-ready pack. Just take the gel or mix it in a drink. And since you're an America Out Loud listener, go to healthycell.com/outloud. You will get 20% off your very first order. So take care of your body. Take care of yourself. Protect yourself. Go to healthycell.com/outloud and find out more.
Hail, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. And they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great. great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutLoud.com is the alternative from the agenda-driven globalist. Here, we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. On-demand podcast or real-time talk radio with our streaming apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. We're talking about heroes, and I'm talking about heroes with Kathy Chamberlain. She's an author and a speaker. She wrote Rules for Deplorables, a primer for fighting radical socialism. Kathy, we've had a great conversation so far. We've talked about two of your three heroes. I would love to talk about hero story number three.
Well, I have to say he was my favorite. I mean, I think partially because my ancestry is Hungarian and he's Polish. Mm-hmm. And I felt honored to be able to meet him. Now, many people who are listening will remember his viral video. This gentleman he's a pastor in Alberta, Canada. So it's not just us Americans who are standing up against this stuff, but Artur Pawlowski of Street Church Ministries. So he has it's called Street Church because it is like a street type of church. That's how they began, I believe. And then it went to the inside of a church, and he's very popular up there. So the video, to remind the listeners, there was a couple of different shots of people marching down the street with a cross and Bibles, and they were singing very religious hymns. Just beautiful. It was just beautiful. And I remember I actually researched it back then because I was enthralled with what this was all about. But this guy, they tried to shut him down, and he ended up fighting back. And he started yelling Nazis, Gestapo, the police came right in. I don't know if they were health inspectors. I think they were health inspectors, but they looked like the police. And they did it too. This is what really bothered me, Paul. And this tells you what's behind the actual move. They did it on Easter Friday. And throughout, I think they did it throughout that weekend.
Yep.
But they kept trying to shut him down, and he would have none of it. And he chased them down the street. If you remember that, he chased them down the street and yelling after them, get out, you Nazis. I mean, that took some definite courage.
And I love the fact that every time they tried to say something, he said, shut up, leave, you're not welcome. He was not having any of it. And, you know, sometimes I think it takes someone who has lived under despotism and tyranny and communism to not only recognize it, but have the gumption to stand up against it. You know, to have seen it before, it really kind of, like I said, lights them up to say, I'm not going to stand for this. You know, we're not going to take this anymore.
Yeah, when I researched him, because I was so interested in him as a man and with his accent, of course, you know, you wonder, where's he from? Well, he's got quite a history, and he grew up in a very socialist kind of communist background in Poland. And he remembers it well. Now, according to him, I've heard him speak about it, and it sounds as though, as a young man, he took full advantage. He was on kind of the part of socialism where he was able to make money, but in a black market. So he wasn't even one of the ones that really had a bad experience necessarily with it. But then, as we talked before, little by little, it started encroaching into his life, as it always does, unless you're the elite. So he experienced it firsthand, and that's why he is so passionate today against it.
Yeah, it's again, I love the video. I see it every so often. Whenever anybody brings it up, I have to watch it. What I find interesting is he's calling them Nazi and Gestapo. And, you know, it's almost like the term Nazi has become a third rail. You know, if you mention the first to mention the Nazis loses. And but in doing that, in allowing that mentality, we're not learning from our history. You know, what we see, what we're seeing today has happened before in history. Yes, the Nazis did it. You know, especially look at the Hitler Youth. Yes, the Soviet Union, Lenin and Stalin did it in the Soviet Union and the Young Russians. Mao and his Cultural Revolution, what happened in Cambodia. I have friends that are now running a mission in Cambodia. They are still living with the aftermath of Pol Pot. This should be a surprise to no one, that actually opens their eyes and remembers just a little bit of history. What did Santayana say, right? Those who refuse to learn from their history are doomed to repeat it. And we are repeating this terrible part of world history because we refuse to open our eyes to what happened. And maybe, and I guess you're right, it takes someone who's lived it to rattle the cages.
Yes, and he is pretty outspoken about that very point. He says this has been before. We've seen this movie play out before, and it's not going to end differently. It never does. And so, you know, he's given a lot of people inspiration, and it's people like that who do. And if you recall, I mean, he didn't just yell Nazi Gestapo. He was out there yelling what they were doing wrong. You come in here, this is Good Friday, one of the holiest days of the year. You knew what you were doing. How dare you? How can you live with yourselves? This is what we have to push back, because a lot of these law enforcement and health inspectors are people just like us, and they're kind of confused, I think. Not all of them, obviously. Some of them relish their job in being able to inflict pain on people, but I think a lot of them are just your average everyday citizens that are going to work, and they're being told that they have to do these things. And that can't be easy, but more of them need to stand up and say, I'm not doing this to my fellow man.
Well, you know, we say that I was just following orders is not an excuse. Mm-hmm. But I think you're right. They're just average everyday people. And in America, we're not taught about the Constitution. In fact, I was requested to put together a placard when a lot of this first started. I was at an event in a county nearby, and just before the event started, like just a couple days before the event, that county passed a mask mandate. And the coordinator, you know, I got there and I set up my table, and the coordinator said, well, you know, we're on private property. We should be left alone, but we're not sure. So I said, I don't care. They have no legal right to force me to wear a mask anywhere. And I had put together this placard, and I showed all the rights that were being violated. And I proved, and I showed the not only historical documents, but Supreme Court opinions that said, oh, by the way, those laws are void. And the fact that if they actually enforce that law, they are actually breaking federal law. And I have this little placard, and she goes, okay, if the police show up, we're sending them to your table. I said, be my guest. That's why I'm here. But that's the point that I think once we arm ourselves with a little bit of information, that's part of what I'm doing this summer. I call it my Knowing Your Rights tour. It's a basic understanding of just a few rights and the legal ability to enforce them. And, you know, so if you're dealing with law enforcement or you're dealing with code enforcement or you're dealing with any government official, recognizing, you know, the requirement for a warrant isn't limited to law enforcement. It is any government official that you have a right to be at liberty, to be unmolested by government unless you are unless they have due process claims that you are infringing on the rights of somebody else. That your body is your property. You have the right to do with it as you wish, again, until you infringe on the rights of others. And when government officials under color of law violate a right protected by the Constitution, it is a federal crime punishable by a fine and up to 1 year in jail. Now, do you remember the mother in Texas who was arrested while watching her son play football for not wearing
Yes.
A... So to me, that is the antithesis of the story from Buffalo, right? She's there with her mother. She's 20 feet away from everybody else. Some guy with a badge and a chip on his shoulder tries to arrest her. She refuses. Why? Because it's a void. It is an unjust law. It's unconstitutional law. Therefore, it is void. According to the U.S. Supreme Court, Marbury versus Madison, a law contrary to the Constitution is void. She stands up. He then tases her. All right, now he's used force against her. That means the punishment for him is not 1 year in jail, but a fine and up to 10 years in jail.
Wow.
So imagine the reaction to that uninformed police officer. I mean someone who hasn't been told the rest of the story. The police officer, the health inspector, the code enforcement that says, oh, by the way, yeah, constitutionally you're not allowed to do this. Constitutionally, that executive order is void. It is meaningless, and I can prove to you where. And oh, by the way, if you try to enforce that law on me, my first call is to my lawyer, my second call is to the FBI, because you're committing a federal crime. And oh, by the way, if you lay hands on me, your punishment goes from 1 year to 10 years. Now, I don't know if that's going to change somebody's mind, but don't you think it would give them pause?
Oh, absolutely. I would love to have that placard. In fact, we have one of our committees here locally as a group is we're going to start working on this one next is with the sheriff's department, because we have a pretty conservative sheriff. But some of the stuff he did throughout this lockdown was definitely unconstitutional. And we really didn't know. We've talked about that here. We wanted to go confront him and say, we're looking for a way to do that. I think if we are, a lot of Americans are probably curious for those answers as well.
Absolutely. And I'd love to help. You know, sheriffs, like, sheriff is a unique position because they are the chief law enforcement officer of the county. They are not accountable to the state's governor or to the federal government. They're accountable to the people of the county, and they take that same oath to support the Constitution. But very often, they're advised by lawyers. And
yes.
Trust me, my experience is if you want to know what the Constitution says, don't ask a lawyer. Because I've asked every lawyer I meet, I asked them a question. I said, did you study the Constitution in law school or constitutional law? I've had one lawyer say they studied the Constitution. The rest study constitutional law, which is the opinion of judges.
Great
so
point.
I'm not surprised to see a sheriff, because they're being advised by a lawyer that says, oh, no, you should go ahead and do this, because that lawyer wouldn't understand a constitutional argument if it bit him in the behind. Because he's been trained to place the opinion of judges above law. So,
well, that makes sense, because our sheriff happens to be an attorney. So
there you go. Now, I made a point. I sat down and met with my sheriff in the county where I live. And it was kind of funny because, you know, you say, hey, I want to come down and talk with you. He goes, about what? I said, I just want to meet you. And because I could tell he's like, all right, what does someone come to complain about?
Mm-hmm.
So I came in and I sat down and I said, it's very simple. I've only lived here a few years, but I wanted to sit down and talk to you. I said, I want you to understand my expectation. My expectation is if I pick up the phone and dial 911, When your deputy shows up, they understand their primary responsibility is to protect the rights of everyone involved. It's not to enforce state law. It's not to enforce county law. It's not to enforce federal law. It's to protect the rights of everyone there. He goes, absolutely, you're 100% right. So, and during the conversation, then here's my response to you. If you do that, if you make sure that your men and women are there to protect my rights, I'll stand with you when you get pushback. I said, if you stand up against some ridiculous order from our governor or against some fake federal law, what do you need me to do? Do you need me to give you constitutional advice? You want me to stand with you at a press conference? What do you need? What can I do to support you while you're protecting my rights? And it made for a very interesting conversation, because now I'm not making demands of him. I'm in a conversation going, this is what I expect from you. This is what you can expect from me. How do we, then what do we do next? And it became I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, that's great advice. I'm wondering what his answer was.
His answer was absolutely. In fact, he made a point that...
That what you could do for him.
He didn't really have much, because, again, I live in the county I live in is, it's pretty straightforward. Nobody here ever enforced a mask mandate in my county. Has been pushing for a lot of craziness. So there hasn't been a lot of pushback against him. But I make a point of keeping up. We haven't had anybody pushing back on what he's done. So I haven't had to stand up there with him.
Right.
But, if nothing else, just keeping involved to say, hey, here's a constitutional argument for this when something comes along. Giving him the opportunity to come speak to audiences that want to hear from a sheriff. All right, he's not a Sheriff Mac, but he's a pretty constitutional sheriff. It'd be nice to have him to see how I can help him maintain that position, as well as speak to others to help educate them as to why it's important to know your sheriff, to understand what your sheriff is going to do with his or her deputies, and how the fact that I have a sheriff, a county officer that will protect my rights, means I'm less concerned with the nonsense that goes on in Nashville or Washington, D.C. I've got my family a layer of protection around them. And that's a great place to start.
Yes, I believe a lot of people don't realize how important the sheriff is, and I would love some guidance from you on that at a later time when we get closer to meeting with him, because we're getting to that point now, and we could certainly use some advice, because I don't want to turn him off. He is a constitutional sheriff, but again, as I said, those rights, you can just see them slipping away at certain times. And once they start slipping, that's a slippery slope.
Yeah. Once a right is lost, it's very hard to get it back without bloodshed. Mm-hmm. And, I like to use a quote from Captain John Parker at the Battle of Lexington, when he tells his Massachusetts militia to stand your ground, don't fire unless fired upon, but if they mean to have war, let it begin here. I would much rather fight the fight myself than have my children do it, especially since at the moment we can fight in the ballot box. Yes, elections have been a mess. Yes, the system is a problem, but it's not problems that cannot be fixed it doesn't require someone else to fix it. It really comes down to the people themselves. If, James Garfield said that now more than ever, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If it be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it's because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. If it be intelligent, brave, and pure, it's because the people demand these qualities of the people that represent them in the national legislature. Well, if that's true with Congress, why is it not true with the president, with your state legislature, with your county boards, with your sheriff, with your county mayor? Why? Ultimately, it comes down to us, and part of it is re-educating people that we are not subjects of government. We are its masters. The Constitution starts out with says that we, the people, ordained and established the Constitution that created the federal government. We are the ones that created the Constitution that created our state governments, and we are also the ones that created the charters that created our counties. But we have to stop looking for someone else to fix our problems, and we have to do it.
That is very true. I think a lot of around the country, this is probably true, but here in Florida, we have started a grassroots movement called Defend Florida, and it's starting to spread across the United States. Now we're seeing Defend Alabama. We're reaching out to other states. And the whole concept is exactly what you just explained. I'm an ambassador for this group for Florida because I go, you know, all around speaking, so I'm able to share the message. But the whole concept is every state has thousands and thousands of Republican clubs, conservative clubs, you know, Trump clubs, just so many different going in different directions and not on the same page. So the idea behind this concept is to build a firewall basically between the federal government and our governor here, and to pretty much put an umbrella around the whole state and gather all of these groups under one umbrella so that we can speak with one loud voice and be on the same page. And every one of us, we break out into counties. It's a by county thing, and then by city. And we have our committees here in my little city, and we're dealing with the sheriff. That's our next thing to tackle. But right now, we're really involved with election integrity, cleaning up the rolls, the voter rolls, and the school boards. We have a committee for that, and they get, oh my gosh, they've been growing and growing, so that now I think the last school board meeting we had 200 people show up. And that's really where the power is and needs to be until we get this country back. And we can't lose sight of it even then.
Well, that's just it's where the power has always rested. And it's the fact that we've stopped, you know, we've kind of let that mantle slough from our shoulders and expected someone else to pick it up. You know, if we put that mantle back on, if we take on the role again as a free people, as the sovereigns of this nation, you're right. Once we've fought for that, you know, think of the people who fought for our opportunity to do that. You think of Washington. You think of the work done by Adams and Hamilton. That, you know, that's great. But think about Lincoln. Think about Patton. Think about all the people we don't know their names, you know, but they fought and died for this idea that this experiment in self-government is the best way to protect, as Washington referred to them, the sacred fire of liberty. You know, if we regain that mantle, what we have to do is educate the next generation so that they don't let slip what we have recovered. And even if we don't recover, let's hold what we've got and teach the next generation so they don't lose it. How did Reagan put it? You know, we have to teach the next generation or we'll spend our sunset years explaining what it was like to live in America where men were free.
So true. Yeah, it's very frightening because what they are doing, what the left is doing, a lot of people think, oh, this country's too big to fail, or how could they be that stupid? Don't they see that they're ruining our country? What Americans don't realize, many of them, is that this is an intentional, this is all, everything we're seeing is intentional to take our country down. And we're not too big to fail. Venezuelans found that lesson out the hard way. And we have to start fighting back from the local level up.
You know, most people seem to forget about any socialist endeavor, any socialist country. There was always a group of people who lived very, very, very well. And, mm-hmm. you know, so socialism is not about, you know, they talk about being, you know, each according to his needs, from each according to his abilities, or something like that. No, it's about a small group of people living very, very, very well at the expense of everyone else. And it seems that most people seem to think that they're going to be in the group that live very, very, very well. Sadly, yeah. most of us won't. So, Kathy, this has been a wonderful time. I don't know about you, but I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation.
Me too. I really appreciate the opportunity to go back and forth with you on this stuff. I've learned a lot myself. And so thank you very much for reaching out and having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. It was a pleasure. I thoroughly enjoyed this article. You can find this article, Three Stories of Heroism in a World of Tyranny. Just go to AmericaOutloud.com. You'll find them under Kathy's name, Kathy Chamberlain. You can also find the Constitution Study there. It's a great place to find articles, videos, and other information that will help you live free. You know, we talk about liberty and justice for all. That doesn't happen by accident. It isn't a magic trick. It takes work. It takes effort. But it is oh so worth it. The outcomes are so sweet. You know, Kathy, before we head off, do you have any last word you'd like to say to my audience?
Just keep the hope and stay in the fight. We cannot afford to give up. Look at the people who are taking action and let that be your guide.
Absolutely. You know, you don't have to be the person that stands up. You don't have to be the Ian, the Frank, the Pastor Arthur. You don't have to be the mama bear. If you can be, that's great. But what you need to do is when you find those people, support them however you can. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's financially. Maybe it's, you know, showing up and standing in a crowd. Maybe it's just an email or a letter or a kind word of support. Trust me, when you're standing out there all alone, there is little that makes you feel better than a kind word that there's other people that are just as enthused, just as willing to stand, just as believing just the way you do. So you don't have to be the point person, but let's become a nation of free people that are supporting those that are standing up with liberty and freedom and justice for all. That, I think, is probably the best message to come out of this episode. I want to remind everybody that you can go to America Out Loud Talk Radio. You can listen to us on iHeartRadio. We have a media player that's available listen from a web browser or from any of our apps. We've got these wonderful apps are on Apple, Android, Alexa. You can actually stream content like this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if you liked this episode or any episode, you can find them on podcasts. And I encourage you to share those podcasts with as many people as you can. You can find them again on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, and iHeart. But it's the sharing of that information that makes a difference. That is how we remain a free country. And I hope you'll join me here next time on the Constitution Study.
Hey, Bill, stay out of jail.